Digital Media Insider, Episode 10, March 29, 2007. Welcome to Digital Media Insider from O'Reilly.com. On our website, we explore the future of audio, video, and photography to help you get more creative with technology. I'm David Patino, and I edit the audio section of the site. This week, we talk with sound designer Peter Drescher, the number one Google hit for annoying audio. You may remember him from such hits as the Furalese ringtone. Peter is actually a very talented musician and composer who's been battling the limitations of cell phones for years. You can read more about his adventures in the Annoying Audio blog at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. Here's an example of what Peter can do with more advanced hardware, the T-Mobile Sidekick. Peter created the sounds for all three versions of the Sidekick. He describes the process in his article, Singing with Your Thumbs, How to Make User Interfaces Musical, at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. I especially like the story about the alert sound that was so frightening that people almost dropped their phones. I asked Peter, what makes a sound annoying?
Answer: unnatural repetition. There's this line I like from Cheers, Frasier saying,
"Oh, now you're saying that I'm redundant, that I repeat myself, that I say things over and over."
It's funny, because he says the same thing each time, only different. But imagine if he'd said,
"Oh, now you're saying that I'm redundant, that I repeat myself, that I repeat myself, that I repeat myself, that I repeat myself, that I repeat
now
myself."
Now that's annoying. The reason it is so painfully attention-grabbing is because that kind of thing never happens in the real world. All naturally occurring sound is part of a vast, dynamic system. Even the most repetitious sounds are never produced exactly the same way twice, because the sound must react with the environment, and the environment is always changing. Even in the most subtle movement of air, position of the listener's ears, ambient noise level, entropy, whatever. It's the old proverb, you can't step in the same river twice. Until now. Now, thanks to Edison, we can capture the sound wave and reproduce it exactly. This is great if you're recording a symphony orchestra or movie dialogue.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
But if you take one sound and use it over and over and over and over again and 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 again, well, then it starts to sound like
every video game you've ever played.
You can read more about composing music for video games at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. See the show notes for links. To get another perspective on annoying audio, I asked Peter what types of sounds he likes to hear.
Man, I absolutely love vocoders. Last year I picked up a Roland V-Synth, and it comes with a kick-ass vocoder built in.
I've been using it for everything, from logo sounds.
To test files. To sound effects.
Mostly I just love the whole concept of using the format of my voice to control a synthesized waveform.
Sound designers are always complaining about the clumsiness of digital audio interfaces, and with good reason.
I have never used a program that gives me the kind of emotional control over a sound that musical instruments do.
But the vocoder lets me control sound with by far the most expressive instrument of all.
Like anything, if you use it too much, it can get old. But as a sound design tool,
tear rocks on a root.
And the best part about it, I'll never to worry about singing in tune again.
For more on vocoders, check out episode 2 of Digital Media Insider. It's a free download at digitalmedia.oreilly.com and the iTunes Store. And now, a look into the future. I asked Peter Drescher to describe the perfect cell phone, but I didn't realize he'd go so far into the future.
Everything I know, I learned from Star Trek. The communicator pin worn on your left shoulder has got to be the model for the best cell phone ever.
Captain Picard, to the bridge, please.
We're on our way, Chief.
And I actually think we're kind of heading in that direction. Certainly, cell phones are getting smaller every day. And already, many aren't even really phones at all. They're simply data terminals on a huge wireless network. Let's not even talk about the amazing voice recognition software or the Majel Barrett-generated speech interface.
Tea Earl Grey hot.
That beverage has not been programmed into the replication system.
The thing that always impressed me the most about Star Trek communicators was the audio quality. Now that's high technology. The microphone always picked up every word you said and transmitted it perfectly, whether you were standing on the bridge giving orders, in the middle of a battle on an alien planet, or speaking in hushed tones while sneaking around a Borg cube. And the speaker, or lack thereof, cell phone speakers have kind of been the bane of my freaking existence for the past few years, but as far as I can tell, Star Trek communicators don't even have them. It's got to be some kind of manipulation of the air molecules using vibrating force fields or something. But however it works, you can always hear exactly what the captain is saying, no matter what's going on around you. It's as if there's a really good monitor speaker floating just behind your head, perfectly adjusted and EQ'd to cut through the ambient noise, and band limited so that you know the voice is on the comm and not someone standing behind you. The volume level is automatically adjusted for your comfort level, and other people can hear your conversation, but only when you want them to. Of course, Star Trek has an advantage, being fiction, but as a blueprint for what you'd like a phone to do, it's by far the best. Now, will cell phone technology ever catch up with Star Trek physics? Maybe not, but I gotta say, the iPhone looks a hell of a lot like a Star Trek data pad, and so, once again, science fiction has invented reality.
Before he got into multimedia production, Peter Drescher spent years on the road playing keyboards in blues bands. To wrap up, I asked him if he could share any road dog blues stories. He replied,
"To be honest, most of the stories from my road dog days are either too filthy for mixed company or borderline felonious. But a couple of years ago, I was surfing the net and I Googled Joe Louis Walker. Let's see what that old bastard's up to. Oh, look, he's got a new album out in Europe. Good for him. He's been on tour with Henry. I wonder what that guy's up to. Hey, what's this? DVD. Joe Louis Walker, live in Baden-Baden, Germany, 1991. Holy crap, I think I'm on that one. Doink! Purchase, please. So, this thing arrives, and yes indeed, there I am, long hair tied back, cool-ass Panama hat, string tie, wailing on the keyboards. Damn, baby, I used to be a rock star. And, oh yeah, I remember this gig. It was a television station in this German resort town, and the equipment was like circa 1972. Big old cameras, big stage, and the most unbelievably hot lights I think I've ever played under. And you can see it on the tape. Each song, we get sweatier and sweatier and hotter and hotter. It's like Cool Hand Luke up there, but we're trying to smile and have fun despite the punishing heat, until finally we're all just completely drenched, like we've been doused in buckets of Gatorade, like we're in a wet blues man t-shirt contest. But what you can't see on the tape, which is probably just as well, is that about halfway through the show, Joe's hair, which is big and poofy and got all kind of chemicals in it, starts to smoke like a column of steam or some potent mixture of sweat and hydrocarbons rising up off his hairdo. leaving a little trail of mist behind him as he moves around on stage, like he's got a locomotive chimney stack on the top of his f***ing head. Well, I didn't know what to do, so I did what you always do in situations like that. You keep on playing. But people in the audience are starting to point and giggle, and Joe, of course, is completely oblivious to the whole thing. Until later, backstage, after the gig, he starts screaming at us. Ah, you m***s! You should have said something! My f***ing head could have caught on fire! I could have been like Michael Jackson!
For more tales of flaming hair, ringing tones, and broken loops, check out Peter Drescher's annoying audio blog at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. We also have links to its full-length articles in today's show notes. You've been listening to Digital Media Insider, the official podcast of the O'Reilly Digital Media site. Visit us at digitalmedia.oreilly.com. That's O-R-E-I-L-L-Y. And let us know what creative technologies you'd like to explore. Incidentally, I wrote this music using software that I learned about while editing articles for the site. See the show notes for links. For O'Reilly Digital Media, I'm David Bettina.